Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
David Sweat is the chief of epidemiology over at the Shelby County Health Department. Busy time, certainly, for him and everybody here in Memphis. He joins us now. Hey, David, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for the opportunity. You're doing well.
So what is, as you understand it, what is the official number in Shelby County as of today?
Actually, I need to pull that number off the computer. Yesterday evening, it was 198 cases.
Okay.
And so I haven't checked at the moment to see what it is right this second, but it's certainly over 200 cases by now.
Okay. So,
and approximately, tell me if this is still accurate, it's approximately 3 out of 4 of those cases, or it was 74%, at least the story I read, were people that are 60 and under. That goes against the early narratives, right?
Well, that's one of the issues. This doesn't tell us a lot about the distribution of disease, but what it does tell us about who's being tested and diagnosed, and what we see is about 26% of the people who have been diagnosed so far are over, you know, 61 and up, and the rest are younger than that. So 74% are younger than that, and 38% between 21 and 40 years old. So the key point, you know, to bringing that up, though, is that even if people younger and healthier may have a milder illness, we're seeing and proving that they have infection, and this is why we're asking people to stay at home and to social distance, because these folks are transmitting and pose a risk to more vulnerable people who may be older or may have even younger but have underlying conditions. So if you have asthma, if you have heart disease, or you have some of these underlying conditions at any age, that's going to increase your risk. But certainly, you know, the older we are, we see that that increases the risk for bad outcomes. But it's really about just reminding people that everybody can get this disease and everybody can transmit this disease. So the safe at home orders, the shelter in place orders that were issued by Mayor Harris, by Mayor Strickland and the other municipal mayors, the health directive that the health department, Dr. Randolph wrote and applied for unincorporated Shelby County. The whole point of that is to try to starve the virus of the opportunity to infect new people and slow down the velocity of this epidemic so that our healthcare system does not get overwhelmed.
When can we, obviously locally, when can we expect to see any kind of indications as to whether these measures are working? I mean, are we 10 days out of that? Are we 14 days out of that? What is sort of your sense?
Yeah, it's hard to say because there is a lag anyway with between testing and reporting. Usually if somebody gets sick, especially if their initial symptoms are mild, they don't even necessarily go to the doctor, right?
Right.
And so then as you get sicker, you seek health care. If then the test is obtained and then sent to a lab, there may be a day or two before results come back. So we're several days past the onset of symptoms when we even find out about the case. The orders only recently were put into place. So we're still catching up on diagnoses of people who were getting sick before those orders were put in place. So it'll be a little bit, you know, a few days or weeks before the impact of the orders will be visible in the numbers of cases being diagnosed.
David, I had a listener 10 minutes ago DM me and say that Tom Lee Park right now is packed. Like there are people that, you know, and I just, with the days getting warmer, how much more are you concerned about with that, right? That just the idea that, oh, it's a beautiful day, I can get outside. For those folks that are out there playing basketball, he says there's a ton of folks out there right now. What would you tell them?
Well, we don't want to stop people from exercising, and sure, we don't want to stop people from enjoying the outdoors. It's actually allowed for you to be outside, but we still want people to maintain social distance. So we don't want people to be within 6 feet of each other and having close interactions where droplet spread can, you know, infect other people. But if you want to go out for a jog, you want to take a dog for a walk, mm-hmm, if you want to just be out, as long as you're socially distant from other people and maintain about a 6 foot, you know, space from you and other folks, it's okay to be outside. But if you're
playing basketball,
close, if you're really close to each other though, and sharing a lot of close contact, then you're still going to be at risk whether you're indoors or outdoors.
David, any idea? And we were of course talking to David Sweaty, he's the chief of epidemiology over at the Shelby County Health Department. How does Memphis and sort of the exponential growth that we have seen? I think the number was 42 last Friday, and as you mentioned, we're over 200 not even a week later. How does Memphis, as a metropolitan area of its size, stack up to similar metro areas? Have you guys sort of looked into that? Is Memphis in better shape? Are they in worse shape? Sort of, what's your sense there?
Yeah, we've been so busy taking care of looking at what's going on here,
yeah,
that I'm not spending as much time looking at what's going on in other communities and comparing. But what I can say is the velocity or the number of new cases, usually between generations of the disease, is about a 5-day doubling, right? And we're doubling numbers faster than that. So that what that's telling me is we haven't yet caught up to being in real time with how many people are getting sick. We're just documenting all the illness that's already there. And so we're doubling our numbers really fast, like every day or two or every couple of days. So that's a lot faster than the virus creates new cases. So we're still playing catch up. And what we're seeing with the influx of the new you know, spikes in cases reported is just the increased access to testing that,
yeah,
people have had, as sites like the Tiger Lane site, as sites like the you know, the van that Baptist Hospital is using, as you know, Third Street Clinic at Christ Community, and others in the community, the providers that are just submitting to commercial labs. As more and more people have access to testing, we're just catching up, documenting the illnesses that have already occurred.
For maybe our listeners who you know, obviously, all, and us too, I mean, we certainly have no background at all in this field, and we're just sort of learning as we go as well. How does the rate of testing and the improvement of the availability of testing, how does that help you do your job? How does that sort of improve and help us in what we know?
Sure. Well, it does several things for us. First, it documents that there is disease in the community, and it helps us with our investigations and contact tracing. Once we know somebody has been diagnosed with COVID, we can talk to them about the quarantine and isolation measures that either need to be put in place for them or for their household contacts or other contacts that have been exposed. So we can separate those folks out and say, hey, you need to be home. We'll tell them how long they need to be home, and we'll also talk to them about monitoring for symptoms, because it's a bit concerning, right? If I call or somebody calls from my team and tells you you've been exposed to COVID-19, that might produce some anxiety. And so we need to do some patient education, explain the quarantine orders, explain the signs and symptoms to be monitoring for, and then give them instructions on if you do start getting sick, what happens. So all of that work, you can't do any of that work unless you know who has it and who you need to be talking to. So there's that. And then, but the other part is it helps us do some analysis of the data and say, okay, who's being diagnosed in Shelby County, and what does that look like? And we can begin to monitor for when is this spike going to peak, when are we plateauing, when is the number of new cases going to start diminishing. Without test data, we don't really know how is this virus moving through our community and impacting it. So now we have a better lens to to view that through.
You mentioned how busy you are right now, and it's certainly appreciated the work you guys are doing by all of us, obviously. How fearful are you that you'll become overwhelmed? You, healthcare workers in Memphis, you know, I've seen nurses say, you know, I'm scared for the first time in my life to go to work. And I realize, you know, maybe that's not the position you're in, but how fearful are you that this will become something where you're overwhelmed?
Fortunately, there's a task force that's been established across the whole county, so county governments, city governments, agencies of all kinds, and also healthcare sector collaborating. We have daily conversations, and there's an effort to share resources, and obviously with some we're having to pare back at the health department to essential services, and that lets us to redeploy some staff into the COVID-19 response who are usually doing something else. But I wouldn't say I'm fearful that we're going to be overwhelmed, but what I would say is we're taking all the measures that we can to pull all the resources of the community together. Yep. In a coordinated way, so that even if they're not working for the health department, everybody's working with the health department, and the health department's working with the healthcare sector, and, you know, across county lines, across jurisdiction lines between the various cities and the county, just to coordinate that everybody is essentially on the same page, and we're all rowing the boat in the same direction. That's what we're trying to do every day. And the things that we really need the public to do to help us, stay at home. Don't go out unless it's for essential activities. Go to work only if you are in an essential business, but even there, maintain social distancing and wash your hands a lot. And then, you know, maintaining that social distancing means at least 6 feet between yourself and others, and don't have any gatherings of 10 people or more. Don't take any non-essential trips. You can see that everywhere in the world is impacted by this. And so right now, air travel, cruises, vacations, you know, trips out of town, none of that is necessarily helpful because it helps the virus move in and out of different communities. And then also use that hand sanitizer and wash your hands. And if you run out of hand sanitizer, the good news is, as far as I can tell, you can still get soap. And washing your hands with soap and water is really effective. It's probably more effective even than hand sanitizer. Use hand sanitizer when you don't have access to soap and water. But wash your hands a lot, because as you move through the world, you touch surfaces, and then you get things on your hands.
Yep.
And then you accidentally put it to your lips or to your eyes, and that if there's a virus particle there, then it gets into your body. So those frequently touched surfaces, like doorknobs and you know, computer keyboards and mice and telephones and, you know, our cell phones. I mean, you like wipe them down, you know, wipe them down with wipes that have alcohol or disinfecting products, because you set your phone down all over the place and then you pick it up where you're putting it up to your face. So those kinds of things are the measures people can take right now that will help them not get sick if they don't have the virus, but they'll also help them not share the virus with somebody else if they do.
Absolutely. We are, of course, talking to David Sweat, Chief of Epidemiology over at the Shelby County Health Department. I know you're a basketball fan. I'm going to ask you to project a little bit here, just sort of your opinion. There was a Gallup panel that polled Americans and sort of how they've changed their plans during the coronavirus. I don't know if we'll ever get 100% cooperation, but at least 92% say they've avoided going to events, not that there are any events out there to go to anyway. 87% of us said they've avoided traveling by airplane. We've sort of instituted these obviously, I think, necessary strict measures. If we continue to do this, if we continue to stay home, we continue to socially distance, we're all looking for normalcy, right, David? What would you say the chances are of hope of an NBA season restarting and a football season happening as close to on schedule as possible?
Okay, a lot of things there, and I guess at this point I'm just going to have to say this is not my official governmental point of view. This
Absolutely.
Is just David Sweat, sports fan, right? I totally agree with everybody that I miss the Grizzlies. I'm a huge Grizzlies fan. I miss watching basketball. I was really interested in the playoff race and are we going to stay in it, and you know, all those other things, just like everybody else was. We can't go back to having large gatherings of people until we see several weeks of low transmission or reduced transmission. And the thing that we're trying to don't want to do is re-energize the epidemic, right? Mm-hmm. So we bring large groups of people back together, that risks re-energizing the epidemic even if we get it under control. Now, can the NBA figure out a way to have basketball without the large crowds, and we at least get to see it and watch it in some fashion, and the season resume at some point? Surely, I hope we get to do that. I mean, we all want a return to normal life, and we will get there faster if we get the current epidemic under control. So let's at least first do that.
Yep.
And stop the upward increase of cases, watch it plateau, watch it start to decline, and then very strategically, a lot of people will be thinking through, how do we reopen society? What's the sequence? You know, how do we build a path to recovery and return to normalcy? Those discussions will all come with, you know, people, probably not me, you know, or I may be part of those discussions, but those decisions are made, you know, by somebody else. But what we will do from our perspective is share the data, share what we see about what's going on with the epidemic, and help them make wise choices. That's our goal. And then we'll let things reopen once it seems like it's safe to do it.
David, man, this was
a
pleasure.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you for the time, and thank you for the insight, okay?
Yeah, you guys take care. Thanks for all your help.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
He is David Sweat, Chief of Epidemiology over at the Shelby County Health Department.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.